Rusty Quill presents.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to another episode of Cersei Confidential. And I'm really happy to have a special guest on this particular episode. We have Belinda Roddy, who is the voice of Pragma, the love of Thyra. How's it going, Belinda?
Oh my goodness, it has been crazy on my end, for better or for worse, but I'm happy to be here.
Cool. All right, let's kick things off. First question, is Cersei your first voice acting job?
It is officially my first voice acting job.
Oh, cool.
I've done fun little voices for recordings with friends and things like that. But, you know, if you're thinking like a first official, like, hey, let's cast you and you record and we publish it. It really is the first time I've ever had the chance to be a part of the podcast space.
I'm saying you have your, I'm trying what it is now, your Facebook group. I'm sorry, you've invited me before.
I've never been able to do it. My online theater company, yeah. So I'm an online theater company currently named OK Zoomer Theater Company, in which that really was a way to get me back into acting, especially during the pandemic. I actually used to do a lot of theater when I was younger, and then I switched more to writing. So I've actually helped write minisodes for Ostium before. So that was kind of my niche. And then when I got to go back to acting in the online space, it was really refreshing. And so I've had a lot of opportunities, you know, sadly, because of the pandemic. Something good that came out of the pandemic. So, you know,
if one thing the pandemic has done is it's made the world realize, hey, actually, remote recording is okay. It doesn't always have to be in a fancy studio that we can't afford.
Very true.
So since you've done this now, would you like to do, I'm guessing you'd like to do more voice acting?
Oh, absolutely. I'm very interested in doing more voice acting. I'm interested in, you know, playing around a bit more because, you know, obviously Pragma has a certain sound to her voice. And I'm very curious if someone were to, you know, to cast me in a certain way, in a certain role, I'd be like, okay, what kind of voice can I do now? Mm-hmm. I've always joked that, like, you should get me for your teenage animated voice. Yep. I can do it really well, but I think the market for that is a little bit saturated. So
right. But you could do a, I'm sure I remember what they call it, but like a not a mixtape, like a reel, basically. You make yourself a reel, demo reel, yeah, and you can do all your different voices and stuff.
I just need a little bit. I would need some time to like do the recording and everything. And I can be a bit impatient with recording, so it's just a matter of me, you know, going buck up, here we go, and record during the time in which my cat is not screaming for food.
And I do say I do enjoy your recordings because you always include lots of commentary on yourself and what you're saying and what you're thinking and stuff. And it just makes it way more entertaining, makes it great fruit.
Outtakes
and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
And knowing you as a good friend, it's just like, oh, it's Belinda. Yeah.
Do you want me to mention how we know each other? Because we've known each other for
a while. You can set it up. Yeah.
So fun fact, 2013, back when I was still living in the city of San Rafael in the Bay Area, I was hired to be a bookseller at the newest Copperfields bookstore in that city. And wouldn't you know it, Alex was the assistant manager there. So we actually got to work for a few years. And I remember the days we'd be closing. We just start blasting Pink Floyd on the speakers because we knew we wouldn't bother anybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody was gone. Then I went into education and Alex, you went into your own creative endeavors and everything like that. And
kept doing the writing stuff, but went into a more lucrative job in the post office.
Yeah. By September of this year, we will have known each other for a decade.
Wow.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
Did you ever come up on the roof? I can't remember if I did that. That was in the early, because I actually opened the bookstore and got it all set up.
I never had to do that. I think the roof situation was, for me, I came in the bookshelf situation,
which
we had to originally like set up the bookshelves, start putting in the stock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By that point, the electrical work and everything had pretty much been done. It was just a matter of you and the manager at the time going, okay, now we need people to actually start the store.
It was cool to do that, go through the whole process and do it. But I think it was, I only did it a couple of times, but there was like a ladder to the roof and I'm like, okay, let's take a break and let's all go up on the roof. Cause
we never did that, unfortunately. But I do remember going with a couple of people to get sandwiches at the nearby deli. That was a good time. Yeah.
And some fun author events too.
Yes, very, very fun. Brandon Sanderson and lots of Giants correspondents and journalists.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good stuff.
Cool. So how did you discover podcasts?
So I feel kind of bad about this. I don't listen to a huge amount of podcasts. That's actually more my wife, which we'll go into a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But I do one podcast I've been listening to and also watching because they have a video element. I really started getting into podcasts with a lovely, very not vulgarly named podcast called What the Fuck Is Wrong With You? And it's through the podcast Radio Dead Air. Which is run by this gentleman named Nash Bozard. And I'm a huge fan of his work. His music selection, his commentary on certain things like Doctor Who and, you know, fantasy genre and things like that. And then for a segment, he would just go over with his co-host Tara, all these stories from around the world of people just being crazy or stupid or weird, you know, these actual news stories that they cover and talk about. So that was my real first foray. I have listened to a number of different podcasts before. This Might Get Weird is one I listen to with Grace Helbig and Mamrie Hart. I dabble into some podcasts, a lot of kind of just sort of chatting podcasts in which like, you know, what's up with you? What is something you've been working on? And then also I'm a fan of, you know, when I can find podcasts that kind of talk about, you know, like History Is Gay, you know, for example, is a great podcast.
Love that one.
And then really it was Ostium. You know, I started listening to Ostium before you, Alex, you asked me, hey, would you be interested in doing some writing? Mm-hmm. I was already listening to Ostium at the time. Mm-hmm. And that was really the first real fictional podcast that I listened to. Mm-hmm. Every other podcast I listened to was very much a bend of commenting on current events or commenting on, you know, our own life experiences or giving people advice who called in and things like that. You know, my wife will listen to things like My Favorite Murder and things like that. So I'll occasionally, like when she's cooking in the kitchen, I'll hear a podcast go. I'll be like, ooh, what are you listening to now? So that's kind of been, I'm definitely more of a podcast dabbler than like a really, like I have a very invested set of podcasts that I listen to. But like a couple of them, definitely, I listen to quite frequently.
I was gonna say, you mentioned a few favorites. Do you have any other ones?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, mm-hmm. but I'm sure once this interview is over, I'll be like, oh,
that one.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. That always happens. Like, I have friends who are super into D&D podcasts. I haven't mm-hmm. quite gotten into them, even though I'm a huge player of Dungeons
that's,
and Dragons.
I mean, that's like the, so there's the true crime, you know, insanity genre of podcasts. And then there's the RPG, D&D stuff. Yeah, absolutely. It's own world.
Yeah, people, you know, people watching NADPOD, listening to NADPOD and, watching Critical Role and things like that. I haven't quite gotten into that. But, you know, I think those are some of the favorites I can already think of. Things like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And, because it's just, it's more like, what the fuck is wrong with you is a podcast in which I feel like I can just sit down and feel better about my own experiences in life than the others in the stories. So... a little bit of Schadenfreude, I guess. What can you do?
So, what do you like most about performing the role of Pragma?
One thing I really appreciate about Pragma is that, you know, when I first got the role, I know it's really easy when you're given a role of royalty to put on sort of an air that feels a little inorganic. And when I got the role of Pragma, I assumed that she was not someone who... necessarily followed the rules, obviously, to the letter. When I actually started thinking about the voice for Pragma, it was really difficult at first because I didn't know if I just wanted to go for just kind of a straight no accent approach or if I wanted to go really posh, and posh just didn't really work for me. And I did send in a couple of versions and I was like, which one sounds better to you? And we ended up with a voice that was, if you've heard the podcast, the way her voice is that it's very like, you can tell she's good with elocution. She's gotten those lessons and everything, but she never gets too much in her own head. She allows herself to be introspective and reflective. And that's one thing I really love about her character is that, you know, one thing I enjoy is that she is someone, when you actually listen to her thoughts, she's candid. She's adventurous. She's defiant. She does what her heart says, sometimes more than her head. And I relate very much to that in a lot of ways, you know, going against the grain of expectations, whether it's a family or the education system, or we live in a society. I think it's something I've just really greatly enjoyed about her and the experience, and also just the raw emotion that I've had to dive into. And again, I'll talk about that a little bit more as well in some of the discussion we have actually about Thyra and Pragma being.
But I do love just hearing how much you've, because there technically isn't that much Pragma out there yet.
Because you have your so much to me.
Yeah, that's what I would love about it, because there's a mini series and then there's the one episode of Ostium in season 5. But I love just how much you've given the character life already, and there's going to be so much more to come. So that's what's exciting about it.
I mean, to your credit, Alex, the little you've given me has been so rich that I've had a lot to work with. You've given me a very big playground to enjoy. So I think that's what's really helped, is that with, even though she hasn't had, you know, the Pragma series, you know, what has been out there has painted a really lovely picture of a character who, you know, there are definitely some really lovely tropes you can see in there that have worked really well across the genre, but just a little bit of peppering of not, you know, Pragma is a character in which you can understand some of the beats and expect them, but then she sort of surprises you in different ways. You know, like, okay, so she, you know, the defiant princess story, you know, we've heard that, but oh, here's something a little bit more interesting that we can kind of nibble at.
So you mentioned having a little trouble with the one accent to go with. Have you had any other challenges you felt in doing the role?
Mostly it's just been, you know, obviously the thing that's really funny that you mentioned that, because I'm an English teacher by trade. I'm a high school English teacher, so you would think that I'm really good at saying big words in a long sequence. One thing that Pragma does, and I love the writing in this, it's very much her character, but when she is introspective, she's not always concise. What that means is that, and you can vouch for me on this, there are several takes of me just flubbing my lines. And she's forced me to slow down. Some of you hearing this right now might be like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize the actor could speak so fast because Pragma requires me to take my time and reread and re-re-read and re-re-re-read each line that she has, not just to be able to pronounce it properly, but to be able to understand the nuance of what she's saying. So yeah, there have been plenty of outtakes of me just going like, that's not the line. That's not what I'm supposed to say. So yeah, I think it's, you know, for me, it's definitely.
And if you're not on our Patreon, you should join and then you can get access to some of those.
You can get access to my lovely outtakes of me just completely tanking on lines. I think really what's interesting is that it's been, you would think it's hard, it's been harder for me to do the emotional side and the content side. It's actually been more difficult to just get the feel of it, especially since this is my first official voice recording game. There's been kind of a steep learning curve.
I mean, I'm almost like the way you're saying it too, with the having to slow her down, it's almost like her mind's running so fast, but she needs to get out what she wants to actually say. She has to slow it down, you know.
I relate to that a lot too, as a teacher, because I have so much I want to say to my students, and then I have to remember not everyone can think that fast. They relate a lot to Pragma in that way, in which Pragma goes, I have a lot of thoughts in my head, and it's sometimes incredibly difficult to just get them out.
That's the way. I think actually, because I often, for my part, when I'm doing recordings and stuff too, I notice the same thing. And I think it's more just coming as a writer of, you know, of just narrative fiction, as opposed to a playwright or screenwriter or anything.
Right.
But I think that's maybe what it comes from. But it then creates very interesting characters out of it. So I'm all happy about it.
Definitely. Definitely.
So what equipment and software do you use to record?
This is going to be the shortest, most formative ever.
I need part numbers, everything.
I use Audacity I don't use Audacity anymore, actually. Mm-hmm. I actually go on my wife's computer and use Adobe. And I use a Yeti.
Adobe Audition, right? Is it?
I do use Adobe Audition, and I use a Yeti microphone. I originally tried to use Audacity. I think I used Audacity for a minisode I narrated, and then I remember we tried it, and I sent it to you, and you were like, "Belinda, I'm really sorry. The audio is just garbage." And I was like, okay. And I turned to my wife and I said, listen, can I just use your computer, your software? You have the good stuff. Or, you know, in Adobe's case, you have the one company that's monopolized most of the market in this way. And she goes, okay, well, you have to tell me when you want to do it, so I know I'm not using my computer. So, you know, it's, again, been a learning curve with making sure, you know, working with the Yeti, I can sometimes make out with the mic a little too much. And because I've had to work so hard on my speech due to an early childhood speech impediment, sometimes that means my consonants are a little too sharp, and it picks up so easily on the mic that sometimes you have to do multiple takes because I'm like, okay, that's going to pop. That's fuzzy. But I've been getting the hang of it. And sometimes when I hear the edited version, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so clean.
there are various filters and things. One of my favorites is called the D-click that will run through and pull out all the clicks and stuff. The story I always like to share is, if you want, you can actually run that through and then flip it, so all you hear is mouth sounds and clicks, and it sounds like some weird alien language.
Very disturbing. That would scratch my brain in the absolute worst way.
Like nails on a chalkboard.
Oh God. I feel bad for anyone with misophonia who would have to hear that. Lord.
I will say, I think because I've used Audacity, I still use it for different things. I think it was more probably your mic situation there, as opposed to
Audacity. I think it was, but I also think part of it is me being pretty much a novice with a lot of audio systems. You know, with Audacity, there's still a lot I have to learn with the way to use it as well. So yeah, it's not so much the program, and you know, it's not so much the program as it is, like you said, you know, I wasn't using a proper mic. I was using a headset at the time. And I think that was when we were starting to, you know, I think we had already invested in the microphone because I know my wife wanted one. And, you know, and again, we'll get to that. Teaser.
We're really building the suspense here, and it's very cool. So
we're doing so good with this. But yeah, I think you're right. I think just me just getting the hang of actually using the technology, the proper technology, is what made my sound significantly better.
Right. So now you've got some recording sessions under your belt. Do you have a kind of routine you go with?
Surprisingly, no. You know, you think I would. You think I would have, you know, warm ups and start doing some tongue twists. Maybe that's what I should do.
No pre-opera or anything.
Yeah, maybe I should do some tongue twisters though, because again, we've mentioned how sometimes Pragma's vocabulary and dialect can sometimes throw me for a loop. Maybe that's what I need to do. One of my
favorite. Here again, this is the beauty of recording. You're not in a studio, you're not seeing the dollars tick by with each second or anything. So it's like, you take as long as you need to get it right. I mean, I've heard everyone saying, you know, you can record naked if you want, whatever you need to do. No one's going to know. But if it helps you, you know, get that voice how you want it, you do it.
Yeah, I think the only thing I might do a little bit regularly, and you can vouch for this, is that sometimes I have a little conversation before I get started. Hey, how's it going? Hope you're doing okay. And you let me know if you need me to re-record anything. And and again, kind of have this a little bit of conversation as I'm recording, like, okay, I got that done. Or like, oh, hell yes, I did it. Yeah. Nailed it. Yep.
And that's not not to downgrade or anything, but that's not unique to you. A lot of voice actors do that because it feels very kind of lonely when it's just you there with the mic and the script and stuff. Right? And way, it's almost like we're having a conversation, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I do. But but one of my favorite tongue twisters, actually, I love doing this one, is one smart fellow, he felt smart. One smart fellow, he felt smart. One smart fellow, he felt smart. And one thing I love is when my students try to do it, because I teach them how to properly recite for presentations. They'll always accidentally say one fart smeller, he smell farts.
and laughter ensues.
I always go, ha ha, you said fart smeller. But it really loosens up the throat and the body and everything like that. So maybe I'll do that a bit more. But for now, I don't really have a very clear routine.
I remember an intro acting class in college, and we'd start off every class where we'd all bend over and then scream at the top of our lungs, "Get off my back," like five times as loud as we could.
Oh my
Just
God.
To like I loosen went, yourself up.
I went to a vocal jazz camp back when I was 17 years old in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And I worked with a fantastic voice trainer named, I think her name was Diana Spradling. And one thing she could not stand were typical vocal warm-ups, in which it was a lot of like, and like, actually said that was the worst thing to do to your voice. She recommended highly, you know, focusing on breathing, focusing on, you know, warming up the vocal cords slowly. Yeah. And I can safely say I don't abide by a lot of her advice. I'm sorry.
I will say though, because I do recording upstairs here. And so the other day I was like, did something downstairs and I had to come up to record. And then I had to like wait 5 minutes because I came up the stairs. So I was like winded. I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to record anything because otherwise it's going to come out totally different.
And the thing about, especially if you're using a really high quality mic, it catches every single breath, every single, like we said, every single click. You know, if you're even just slightly out of breath for whatever reason, or even if you just had a drink of water, it completely changes the timbre of your voice. It's
a fascinating world, right?
It really is. It's interesting to think about how, you know, the way we handle our voices, just, you know, I think about when I wake up in the morning and my voice has dropped several octaves and like, can I just bottle this so I can use it later? I really love that.
Like whenever you have a cold or something and you've got like that gravelly phlegm or whatever.
Oh, that's stuff. What I learned. I could do Christian Bale's Batman.
What would you like to have happen with your character on Cersei?
Oh, I don't know. I may want
to. Hang on, let me get a notepad so I can be taking notes. You know,
I don't know, Alex. Maybe I want her actually freaking reunited with her wife.
Maybe. I guess maybe we could do that at some point. I don't know, though. You know, I mean, remember when Jim and Pam got together and the show was over? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is the other image I've had is one thing that I would love to see happen with Pragma, and she is emotional, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I kind of had this idea in my head, this image of her pulling out a sword and just screaming like, back away from my wife, and it's something like that, you know, I just something about that burst of defensiveness and just showing that, you know, being royalty is also about being a leader, being a general. Mm-hmm. It would be kind of cool to see if she has that kind of sort of like that side. Like, could she have a sword? I kind of would love that if she had a sword.
Pretty much, it's the plan. I will talk a little bit about it because even though nothing is written yet, but Yes, one day they will hopefully be reunited, even though they're, you know, many light years apart right now.
Time
but there is their past history, which is the what I call, you know, Lord of the Rings except gay tagline for the show. Yeah. And so they will go on an epic quest at some point with a fellowship of awesome people. And so,
we get the scene of Eowyn practicing sword fighting, then hanging the sword with Aragorn, only it's Thyra and Pragma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I approve. Fantastic.
And the one other requirement I have for the show is I will never have one of me as in a hetero white dude on the show ever. So that's the other requirement.
There you go.
There'll be a whole bunch of, women, non-binary people, trans people, whatever. Yeah, a whole fun fellowship.
Listen, if we can get the whole rainbow fellowship, the fellowship of the rainbow, fantastic. Mm-hmm.
I can just see the new logo now.
The fellowship of the rainbow.
That was it. I was telling you about the other day. Yeah, it was like, I think someone was saying, it's like Ostium, except lesbian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cersei.
Could be gayer, is gayer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I tend to turn that up. Yeah. Trick question. How do you know Arden Rachel, the voice of Thyra?
Thank you for asking. Arden Rachel is my real life wife.
What? One more time?
What? Arden Rachel and I have been married for over 6 years. We have been together for over 11. And that's also how we knew, Alex over here is Arden came to the bookstore quite a bit, obviously to visit. And we were both called upon to be a part of the Ossium project because Alex knew we were both actors and we were both creative souls. And it's definitely, and I know we're going to talk about this more, but it's definitely affected the way I have played the character because I am literally playing the wife of my wife's character. So it's just wifeception all around.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was I came up with that because I had Arden cast first as Thyra doing that. And then just, yes, knowing you and knowing I wanted to use, your voice in some way and then be like, and knowing this fact that you guys are married, and it's like, I gotta make this work somehow. And then my mind just did its world building thing. It's like, everyone, yes, we'll do it that way. That'll be perfect.
Surprise, everyone, the secret's out. Yeah, but I kind of love the idea of people knowing too, because it brings a whole new depth to, oh my gosh, I could listen to that minisode again of Pragma crying over Thyra, and wow, there's some depth to that.
It's so real.
Yes, absolutely.
And does that come into your mind a bit too when you were doing that part of thinking on that level?
Oh my God. I remember when you put that tweet out about how you were moved by my performance, I was thinking about if I lost Arden.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lie. I don't want to be like, oh, you know, it was just plain old acting. And No, it was legitimately me getting into
from the
my
damn heart.
Just tugging at the heartstrings of, when I said my Thyra, it's basically, my Arden, Mohishla is what I call her, my pulse, my heart. And so. What's up?
Taking notes again.
Yeah, take notes. I very much, especially when I did that one minisode and what she's talking about, how she's trying to move on as queen, despite the fact that she has no idea where she is. That was one big part of my emotion, but also the episode with Monica that everyone got to hear. Very much the same thing, thinking about Arden and then imagine being told, hey, your wife who you've been missing for years, I think I know where she is. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because, I had to say forsooth, which was really hard for me to take seriously at first. Mm-hmm. But when you actually hear me go, what on Albion do you mean? And forsooth, that is actually me pushing out a feeling of, oh my God, you found her. Holy shit. I can now hug and kiss her and it is great.
The only word you can get out because you're so full of emotion. Yeah,
basically the gay coming out, making forsooth sound organic, which I'm still very proud of. Making forsooth sound like an actual thing.
Now, we don't have Arden here, but do you know if Arden does a similar thing when she's doing her parts?
It's funny. I could seriously just shout to her right now, but I think she's a little preoccupied. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she does the same thing. You would have to ask her. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if that's part of it. But I also think the stakes are quite different between the two characters. You know, I think what Thyra has gone through has been traumatizing in its own way. And, you know, I just remember when she first did like the really kind of creepy voice for Thyra in that incarnation. Right.
She's gone through a lot. Yeah.
So gone through a lot. And so I do wonder if part of, you know, what Arden's had to do is also think like, I'm in a really weird zone right now. Instead of like just pining for, you can't just go, oh, I miss my wife, but also what is happening to me?
Yep. Well, and the reason I bring it up too is because I don't know if you've heard, so the first episode of season six, so we're now on, as of this recording, the third episode, I think, is out, or second episode. But the first episode actually has almost like the other half to your episode from Ostium, where Monica now has met up with Thyra and is telling her, yeah, I saw her. She's alive. I'm excited. And then just and so there's a great little emotional scene with that. And again, Arden just killed it.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yep. Arden crushes it. I'm so happy not just to work with you, obviously, but also to work with my wife in a creative way, because we do collaborate a lot creatively. Mm-hmm. You know, she focuses more on visual art and I focus on writing. So sometimes we'll collaborate that way, combining visuals with language, but also we like to write, you know, we play D&D together. So we collaborate with character interaction. So it's just another way for us to really
work,
you know, engage with each other and help our creative forces. You know, she inspires me. I inspire her. She's the reason why my first novel was published to begin with, because she knew the ins and outs of how to get it self-published. So I owe her a lot, and I'm just really grateful that I get this opportunity to be like, yay, I get to be her princess. Non-binary, but you know, it's neither here nor there.
But also potentially her knight in shiny armor in the future.
Yes,
too,
with the knight. Yes, I have the sword. The school. Yes.
Ooh, maybe that's how you would say it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my sword. And then I just imagine Monica just goes, do you really have to say it that way? That may have been a put on. I understand. Yes.
Now, again, I will leak a little thing. Again, nothing is written and this is all years away. But in my mind, somehow in that future fellowship, Monica is there also.
Yes, I like that. Like a Merry and Pippin vibe. Mm-hmm. Where are we going?
Fool of a took. What would you like listeners to get from your performance of Pragma?
I just want to be able to tell a good story. And I want people, when they hear Pragma's story, to feel like they get, you know, a sense of emotional just... maybe not the right word is release, but that's the only one I can think of. And that she has a very authentic, genuine, raw story. And so I've always been a storyteller since I was a child. You know, I think telling stories is one of the most primitive, but also most natural ways to convey the human condition. And it's why I write. It's why I perform musically. It's why I act. You know, I want them to be able to get away from my performance that, you know, stories are not dead. We're not just locked into like a 10-second loop of audio or things like that. People are still very interested in taking time to experience a character's journey, a character's emotions. And I think there are so many ways to convey that story, so we don't have to shame anyone for the way they consume that story. Mm-hmm. I think there are ways to tell beautiful stories in 10 seconds. I think there are beautiful ways to tell stories in 16 hours. Yeah. And I think that's one thing I just really enjoy about podcasts, is that it's also an opportunity to be able to hear something while also engaging kinetically in something that either you need or you want to do. Mm-hmm. It provides comfort when you say, do the dishes, or, you know, you're relaxing from a hard day and, you know, let's hear about time travelers and sorceresses and princesses, you know, not even just a means of escape, but also a means of exploration. And that's what I really want them to get out of it. Plus, you know, just how fabulous she is. In so many
Very
She's an
true.
Utterly fabulous monarch. And I will stand by that forever.
Speaking of fabulous, what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, man. I mean, fun and passion sometimes don't always go hand in hand. But I do love writing when I can get it down. Mm-hmm. I love performing. I love singing, playing guitar. I do love playing some Dungeons and Dragons. I actually do have a TikTok where I cosplay as various characters I've made up just for fun. You know, but apart away from the arts, I enjoy cooking. I enjoy playing Animal Crossing every single day. New Horizons is just my, it's my game addiction, and I can't fight it. I love spending time with my wife and my two cats, Binks and Gunner. Love going on walks, not just on the beach, but in the neighborhood. I really enjoy, you know, cooking and trying new foods and, having a cider with friends and playing board games and collecting swords and, you know, I that one is a bit more expensive. I haven't been able to do that as much anymore. You know, there's a lot of stuff I like to do. And sometimes it just means sitting back and playing a game of online Mahjong while watching a YouTube drama video. You know, given the way my job has been in education with everything that's been going on, which is a whole podcast episode for a completely different podcast, I try to find ways to, you know, we like to say we're having enrichment time in our enclosure these days. I think it's sometimes nice to take breaks from the really, you know, from the passion projects to be able to just kind of loaf around and just, you know, enjoy just resting, listening to music, things like that. I will tell you that I am working on a poetry book. Pretty much almost all of it is poems I've already published, but I'm also I'm officially publishing them instead of just in a blog. I'm also publishing them in a book that will be hopefully coming out in April. The tentative title is Hyperfixations. And so, yeah, if you're interested in that,
I was going to say, share any socials or links or websites.
First of all,
you can find me, as they say. Yeah.
You can find me. First of all, you can find me on Goodreads under the name Belinda Roddy. That is where you will find currently my self-published novel, Insert Self-Discovery Here, which got a lovely review from Mr. Talander himself. which I appreciate. You can also find me on TikTok under the name Chaotic Nerd Boy with an I. That is where you'll see more of my niche D&D work and cosplay work and just kind of goofing around on an app that may or may not be banned from the United States in the future. We'll see what happens.
I'm still around at the time of this release.
I am planning to put out, once I have a few more books published, probably put out an official Facebook artist page. That has yet to come out. So those are really the two main websites you can find me on, is Goodreads and TikTok. You gotta love the dichotomy.
Dichotomy.
You know, and just for anyone else who's interested, if you look at Sixfold Writing Journal, my poetry just placed fourth in their winter issue. So it will be published online in the future after this interview is out. So there you go.
Oh, awesome. I have to just think of real quick. Are you recording this right now on Arden's equipment?
No, I'm using just the regular computer.
I was going to say that the sound is very clear and everything. Sounds great.
So that's one thing I love about this. I'm using a work computer and just using the built-in mic, and I actually use it for OK Zoomer, and it is surprisingly crisp.
It is. Yeah, it's very clear. And I was about to say, I assume you're using your Blue Yeti, but no.
No, it's not here. No, it's just desk. And I guess that's something else I should mention is if you are interested in being part of an online theater company, we do have a Discord, OK Zoomer Theater Company, if you are interested in that. I suppose you'll have to just let Alex know and we'll try to hook you up.
Or they'll find you through your socials and get to
find it through my socials. You'll be able to, I may have to put a link up for my socials for do Goodreads and things like that, but maybe I'll be able to do an official.
And I will try my best to remember to put in the links in the show notes for this episode on Patreon and on release on the regular feed.
I don't know if you have any affiliate stuff on the Ostium Discord, but that might be something we can talk about. Just kind of link it a little bit so you know. But that is my online theater company that has been going on since March of 2020. So it's been around for almost 3 years.
What happened then? Is there something that happened on March that year? I can't remember.
I can't imagine what happened. I wonder. And we started as a replacement for live theater, and now we are more of a space for theater accessibility for those people who maybe their schedules don't allow them to have a rehearsal schedule for theater, or they might have a disability that prevents them from being in theater, or they might have stage fright.
That's awesome.
It's become a space more for an accessibility platform and for people if they want to present their original work and premiere it in some way. Mm-hmm. We want to provide that option as well. So, yeah, if I forgot anything, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. And unfortunately, I have to cut this short now because I have to go get my son from school. So thank you so much, Belinda, for doing this. This was really awesome.
Thank you, Alex. I really appreciate being on here. And everyone now can go all daw for knowing that.
go back and listen to all the episodes and everything again and in a new light and get ready for future episodes. Season 2 is I'm casting it right now and it's coming together. And eventually we'll get to have Pragma and Thyra going on campaign together.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll roll for initiative and we'll go from there.
Perfect.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.